Thank you, children, for that beautiful song. It's one that we always want to remember, that Jesus loves us and died for us. And we want to thank each one that came out to be with us in service today. We trust the Lord will bless and help us. I'd like to look in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. And Paul is speaking here. In verse 26, it says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." I want to just mention a little bit, Paul was not one of the apostles. In one place, he said of himself, he said that he was born out of due season. In other words, he was kind of after Jesus had already ascended, but he also declared that he saw the Son of God. And you remember his testimony was that he was on the road to Damascus with letters of authority from the high priest to persecute Christians, to persecute and put in prison, to destroy those that had been following Jesus and living for Jesus because he felt like Jesus was an imposter. But as they came near Damascus, there was a bright light that shone round about. And Saul fell down, his name was Saul then, fell down to the earth, and he said, "Lord, who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he told him to go into town. It would be told him what to do. But that encounter changed his life. He saw Jesus for himself. And he recognized that there was a power, that what he had been fighting against was actually true and right. And the apostles, they lived with Christ. They saw him taken and crucified. And they saw him, they were witnesses. They were witnesses of what Jesus had accomplished. But there have been a lot of other witnesses down through time that have encountered Jesus Christ in their lives, that had perhaps given up hope and prayed, seeking God as a last recourse or a last straw, you might say. And they found Jesus that changed their hearts and lives and that saved them and helped them. The earth is full of witnesses that have come in contact with Jesus Christ. He did rise from the grave according to the Scriptures here. I want to look now just a little bit at this 33rd verse. It says, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, Paul is applying this scripture to the resurrection. I want to go now to the Psalms, the second chapter, and look at this scripture that Paul quoted. In the second chapter of Psalms, he says, Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, David here, David is a type of Christ. What the Father did for David in his life, He gave him a kingdom. He caused him to reign above his enemies. David was a ruler. He was the second king of Israel. And God gave him sure mercies. He made a covenant with David that if David would live for him and keep his commandments, that God would be there for him and that would help him. And David is a type of Christ. And we see that Christ, different scriptures call Christ the son of David. He was from the lineage, the Jewish lineage of David. He was in that line. But he said, The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now we want to notice in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, and we'll just read at verse 12. It said, And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Now, that scripture touches me because David realized that God had chosen him to feed Israel, to be a shepherd to Israel. And it said David recognized that the Lord exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. David wasn't taking any honor or credit to himself, but he believed that God was doing what he did to bless the people of Israel. Now I want to drop down to verse 17. It says, When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. And David faced the Philistines in verse 19. Well, let's just read. It says, The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. I want to read a note here from Adam Clark. He mentions that Josephus, which was a Jewish historian, he said that he records that all Syria, Phoenicia, and other circumjacent warlike people united their armies to those of the Philistines in order to destroy David before he strengthened himself in the kingdom. So David wrote this scripture, and we know that the Lord gave him a great victory against the Philistines and Syria and Phoenicia that came against him. But they said, "Let us break their bands asunder," back in the Psalms in the third verse, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." They didn't want to live under David's rule, under David's dominion or authority, and so they were coming against them to deal. Now it's very interesting to note that Christ mentions the same thing in Luke the 19th chapter. We don't have to turn there, but in Luke the 19th chapter in the 14th verse, I believe, Jesus is giving a parable or a story that a son is coming to receive a kingdom, and it said the citizens hated him. And they made the statement, they said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." So the message was the same. David was a type of Christ. The people that came against them were it was the same thought, the same idea that the ones that came against Christ. We know the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, they didn't want Christ. They were jealous. They were envious of him. And they weren't going to yield to him. But in verse 4 he goes on, he says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." It was that generation 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ, 40 years that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman armies. And that's what he's saying here, that Father, the Lord God, would speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And Daniel also prophesied concerning the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman army. But listen to what he says in verse 6. He says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And these are the words that Paul was referencing to when he spoke about the resurrection of Christ. When they came against the Lord, they put him to death, they laid him in the grave, they thought they had conquered, they thought that they had put away him for good. He's out of sight, out of mind. But Jesus arose the third day from the grave. And he says also, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." This was a promise both in David and in Christ. "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." What does that mean, to kiss the Son? It means to acknowledge. It means to give reverence, to give honor due unto him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with him. And it's an admonition to the kings of the earth. He goes on now, he mentions, I want to note that this was applied during Jesus' resurrection. "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." We know when the disciples, when they all were overcome with fear and grief and anxiety, when all their hopes had been dashed and crushed, Jesus raised from the dead the third day. When they came to that tomb, Mary Magdalene, that early morning, Sunday morning, they came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, and they saw the angel, and they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" That's a good question, isn't it? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Just as he told you that he was going to do, he is risen from the grave. Just like God exalted David and his kingdom, God has done that for his son Jesus Christ, the son of David, in the spiritual realm. Jesus was not interested in an earthly kingdom. That's what the people were looking for. That's why many people were disillusioned and disappointed, because they were looking for someone to sit on David's throne. But Jesus had something much better in mind. And in that verse 8, it says, "Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." You know, that includes you and I today. That includes us today. We're the heathen. We're the Gentiles. And he has given us, he has gained, as we yield ourselves to the Lord. I know we each one have a choice, but as we open our hearts and lives to him, it opened the way up for the Gentiles, those that didn't know God, those that were far away. It opened the way up for them to be able to receive what God had. We want to go now to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, to notice another scripture. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the seventh verse. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now this is a quote from Psalms, the 68th chapter. And it's pretty much what it says. "He ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now Adam Clark mentions that the custom, one of the customs was when a people had gone to war with another people and they had conquered them, they had an elevated chariot for the top, the king or the general. He was in an elevated chariot. They would tether the generals and the captive kings behind the chariot. When they would do their triumphal march, they would be behind the king's chariot in chains. They carried away captive, and this is applied to Christ, that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And another custom was they would throw out some of the spoils to the people that were at the triumphal march. They would throw spoils that the people would gather. And that was also fulfilled when he said he would give gifts and men. Jesus mentioned, he said, that if I go not away, the Holy Spirit would not come. The Comforter would not come. And he said it was needful for him to go away. So Jesus, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. In verse 9 it says, "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" We talked about this last Sunday. The lower parts of the earth. It's speaking of his suffering It's speaking of His humiliation and His death. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And another comment was, His abasement was unparalleled. And I have to agree with that. His abasement was unparalleled. But also, His exaltation was also unparalleled. He ascended up far above all principalities, above all powers. He has been given a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue should confess. And Lord, help us to do that in our life, that we would pay homage to Christ and recognize the great sacrifice that He made for us. I want to go now to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest." I want us to take this message personal this morning, because we're sons of men. He said He calls me to pass them round about. It's like the Lord wanted him to have a close-up look. And the message was very clear. He answered, the situation looked like, I think this was, it doesn't say, but my belief, it was a battlefield. It was a battlefield. You know, life is a battlefield. Not a physical. Sometimes it feels physical. But it's a spiritual battle that wars against our spirit, our mind. Sometimes when we look around, we see things look very dry. Very hopeless. And He couldn't say, yeah, these bones can live. But He just said, Lord, You know. Again He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know, it's very important and very vital for us to be able to hear what God speaks to us. To grasp hold of the words of the Lord, of what the Lord is trying to say, what He's trying to teach us in life, what He's trying to show us. And sad to say, many times the Lord has to bring people to this valley of bones place where they recognize that I can't do it within myself. I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I don't have the know-how to do it, to do life. You know, when you're young, it's easy kind of to think that you can handle life. It's easy to presume that you got it figured out. But as you get older, the Lord begins to work in many different ways. Oh, He's worked from the very beginning, but to bring us to the place where we recognize that we need a Savior, that my way has gotten me into trouble, to a mess. He goes on, he says here, in verse 7, he says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." You know, as he began to hear the word of the Lord and speak the word of the Lord, things began to move and change. In verse 9 he said, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." You know, sometimes we're going to be looking in the face of things that are pretty grave, pretty dark, pretty impossible, but the Lord can help us. He said, "I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." They were facing a difficult situation, and the Lord gave this vision to help encourage people. And it has encouraged me, inspired me many times in my life. Because sometimes I've looked and sometimes I've seen the bones that were very dry. They just looked like there was no possible way for them to live. He goes on, he says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 13. "When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." If we could look into the battlefield of life, into the hearts of people, to see the hurt, the broken dreams, the broken pieces that life has dealt to people, the Lord can help. The Lord has life. The Lord's word is powerful when He speaks. He's spoken to these bones that they would live, and things started coming together for them. I wish the world could get this message today. There are a lot of people that have given up on themselves, tried to change, tried to do better, have failed over and over and over again. There are people that have lost their faith, lost their courage, no pulse, no life, no vitality. And all they have to do is to hear the word of the Lord, to hear what God wants to say and wants to speak. He came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And He can renew whatever we put into His hands. He can restore, He can renew things. There in 1 Peter, He mentions, He said, He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, the Lord can beget us again. Sometimes we need to be begotten again and again. I've been that way in my life. There's been many times that the Lord has had to speak to me, "This day I've begotten you." That begotten means to bring forth. It means to save. It means to help. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And I'm thankful that we have something to live for this morning. In closing, I want to look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 13th verse. It said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." That includes me. That includes you. We are the creatures He's talking about here. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." You know, the Lord knows the day we were born. He knows what DNA went into us. He knows our personality. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He says, "But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm thankful today that He lives. The song says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." Because He lives, we're able to face death without the sting of death being there. When our sins have been forgiven and Jesus is living in our life, we don't have to be afraid to go be with Him, because He can take out that fear. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, I'm a witness too of what... I wasn't there when the apostles were. Sometimes I kind of feel like you'd like to see Jesus in person. But I've seen Him in the Spirit. I've spoken to Him in the Spirit. He has spoken to me. I've never heard literal words like some people have. I've never heard literal voice. But He has definitely spoken to me in the Spirit. And I've heard it. It's because He lives. And I've seen the things that He has spoken to be about have come to pass, have come true. And He's helped me through different situations and circumstances when it looked like it was the end of me. Because He lives, you and I can face tomorrow. We can face the future. We can face whatever life has to bring to us. Because He'll be with us and He'll help us and He'll see us through. I thank the Lord this morning that we serve. It's not just a religion. It's just not a church. But we serve a risen Savior today. He is the head of the body. He's the head. And I thank God for it today. I'm thankful for the hope of the gospel that He has given to us by His resurrection. And I'm thankful that He was willing to pay that price for each of us. Appreciate your attention.